Couple of items just for free before I share with you from the scriptures. This first hymn, "Ye Watchers and Ye Holy Ones," how many of you are familiar with that from before? Oh, yeah. Marvelous hymn. The first verse, "Ye Watchers and Ye Holy Ones, Bright Seraphs," all these are orders of angels in the scriptures. And watchers is one order of angels. It only appears one time. I forget where, but it's only one time. And nobody knows what a watcher is. But I'm kind of glad they're around, so along with the others. And then the second verse, "O higher than the cherubim, more glorious than the seraphim," that's about Mary. And sometimes it gets missed with all the other angelic references, but that's who it is. And the clue to that is, "Thou bearer of the eternal word, most gracious, magnify the Lord." That's all Mary. And the rest of it is absolutely excellent as well. But I just thought I'd point that out to you since it's just such a superb hymn. And I'm glad we could sing it this morning. Were you going to raise a question?
No, good.
Okay, good. Yeah, there you are. Right? You come to church, you can learn things, right? So I also today want to kind of underline something that could become one of our best practices. And that is just ways of going into change. In fact, the only absolute there is that things will change. It's the only thing that doesn't change. And most of the time, myself included, will resist change, not want to have things change. Certain things in particular, I don't want to have change, but I know they're going to change. But there's something that goes on with that. Something that God does with that. And it's something about who we are and the very gifting and contribution that we make, not only individually, but as an entire fellowship into the surrounding community. That is very powerful and very rich. And starting from there, we begin to see that change is blessing. It's the blessing of God. And there's a way to move into that. And that's what I want to get into today, because when we flow with that change, we flow into the purposes of God. And that's exactly what we want to do. Now, I want to point out something just about myself on a more personal level. And that is my mother when I was growing up, had a complaint about me. As far as I know, it was only one, but this is it. I didn't want to take a nap. And this kind of bothered her, you know. She was like, "Why don't you want to take a nap?" And my answer was, I didn't want to miss anything. Just didn't want to miss anything at all. Yeah, Sonny's the same way back there. He's raising his hand. Amen, he says. Had a religious experience there for a minute. And that's what I said. Now, I have to admit, I have changed my mind about taking naps. But I haven't changed my mind about not wanting to miss anything. I can just catch it later if I doze off or whatever. But that's a very important thing. And there's something about that in the scriptures. Let all things be done decently and in order. A lot of people will look at that verse and they'll say, "Well, we got to do it right. We got to shape up. It's got to be in order. It's got to be correct." And I think, well, you know, good luck with that. I'm looking at the first part of that verse, which is all things. And in fact, one of the songs that we sing sometimes is that song that good things run wild. Wild being as they were meant to be, as they were created to be. And there's something very, very rich about that, that God wants us to catch and flow with. And that's how change occurs that is healthy and strong and good in almost every area that we can think of. And we can see this in the first reading that we didn't know to stand up or sit down or what for earlier today that Bill read. About it's maybe the second sentence in. "He destined us for adoption as his children through Jesus Christ, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of his glorious grace that he freely bestowed on us in the Beloved. Now, that's a very typical Bible way of saying things, especially the Apostle Paul. He writes that way. So I want to unpack that just a little bit. And first of all, what we see here is that there is a reason that change is always going on. You know, why does that happen? And then we can see that there is a way, how we can receive it. And then we can see that there are some best practices for change that we can take up. And when we do that, we'll start moving in more into the purposes of God, which is where Paul is concentrating here. One of the main things about that is that, once again, it says that we were adopted as his children. One of the reasons Jesus came that first Christmas was to get that message across to us that we would be chosen by God to be his children. And in that adoption, there is something that comes upon us, and that is that we become part of the family of God. And in becoming the family of God, what goes on is you start growing in that family resemblance. And that growing in the family resemblance, as you know, and probably have discovered on your own, can sometimes be very challenging, because the path that we're moving in as the children of God is to become more like Jesus. Now, you're probably a little further along in this than I am, but from where I am right now to where Jesus is, there's kind of a long distance to go, and there's a lot of change that's going to have to go on. But every step of that change is a step of blessing and not a step of, well, judgment or condemnation or, if you'd only paid attention, you wouldn't have gotten this trouble or anything like that. It's a change of blessing. It is the exact purpose of God to bring us to becoming like Jesus. And every step along that way is a step of transformation or change, which is a blessing. It doesn't feel like that sometimes, I know, because sometimes there's a crucifying element to that. But every crucifixion ends in resurrection. Every old body becomes a new one. We don't give up those old bodies very easily, but they become a new one. That transformation is the blessing. That change is a blessing. Now, we can see that and agree with it and say, okay, and still resist it every time it comes. That's the way that we are. And yet there are some ways to embrace that blessing, to begin seeing it. And as I've mentioned before, one of the ways to think about it is this. If you were to stand in a shallow part of the James River and you're facing downstream, the water would be flowing away from you. And what you want to do, well, for purposes of this illustration, is face upstream where the water is coming to you. And the way that you embrace the change that God is leading you in, that God's purpose for you is to move in, is to face upstream, is to face what God is sending your way. Peter talks about that later in his epistle. Draw near to God and he will draw near to you. When you draw near to God, that's what will happen, is that his blessing, his desire, his purpose will be coming to you and be changing you and transforming you. One of the main ways to do that, and it's very easy to trip here. I trip on this. Perhaps you do. It's this. We go to God. We start looking for God with a specific expectation that God will perform or do or be something that we need him to be. Very easy to do. We do that with each other too. You know, people, your family probably does it to you. You probably do it to them. It's just one of the things we often do. Drawing near to God means looking for God with no expectation. It means looking for God no matter what else is going on in your life, just to find God. Well, than any other expectation at all. But that would be the first thing, to find Him. Now, you may have needs, and He'll want you to ask, whatever they may be, and you can go ahead and ask them. I'm not saying don't do that. What I'm saying is, first, it's Him. The first thing about us is that we are His children. The first thing that defines our identity is that He has called us to Himself and named us. So when we go to God out of that, that's turning towards Him. And then we find that we're facing upstream and the blessings of God are coming towards us. And those blessings would be perhaps more than we think they would be. And sometimes when that's the case, it can seem challenging, or it's not the change we wanted to make, or I'd love to have this be different as long as I don't have to change, or whatever it may be. You know, just those natural kinds of reactions that we have. And yet the blessing keeps coming that changes us so that we become more like Him. Now, what is a best practice of that? You know, we can see, well, the way to get that is to approach God without any expectation. One of the ways to get a handle on how to do that is to begin recognizing what God has already placed within you. See, if God has called you as His own child, adopted you and chosen you, loves you as you are, there is something within you that is of God. And some people don't realize that, or they're put down for it, or they're told they don't have it, or whatever it may be, or all kinds of things could happen in our lives which negates what God has put there, at least our perception of it. Sometimes we even hear somebody saying something that's a little different than what we think, and we think, oh, well, I've been wrong all this time. And maybe you haven't. God's bigger than any one perception. And as we live into that, we begin to see there's something He's placed within us that makes us who we are. And that's always been there from the beginning of our life all the way through to now, and will go into the future. Some people call that the golden thread of who you are. No matter where you live, what your job is, what's going on, what's up, what's down, what you've gained, what you've lost, anything, that golden thread is always there. It's who you are. Sometimes we look at it from the angle of our gifting or our talent, whatever, but it's that. When you begin to sense that God is calling you into a step that is a change, the one thing that will not change is that you are His child, and in you He is well pleased. That will never change. And the way you experience that is what will never change. That encouragement, that hope, that growth will always go on, no matter what else is going on around you. You take that and you look into the future and you say, what is the step God would have me take that is a new expression of this golden thread? That's how change becomes a blessing. Every time you go into the next thing God has for you, even if there's some adjustment, like the nation of Israel when they left Egypt, that 40 years of adjustment, in the wilderness, that will happen. That transition has a purpose. And you can move into that knowing the blessing is there. Now, that's important for us. I think it's important for everyone. And I want to apply it this way to us. One of the things is this. As we go along in St. Francis, things will change. It's just going to happen. And as we sense that, see that coming, see what happens, whatever it is. By the way, I don't have any particular picture of what we're going to look like 8 years from now or anything like that. But nonetheless, changes will happen. I know that what's occurred at points in the history of St. Francis, at different seasons and different times, is that somebody got up and said, this is the way things are going to be now. I don't know what else to say about that, except I am so sorry that happened. There's a different way where what God is opening up becomes a blessing instead of a requirement. I know, different things. We're going to change the time, or we're going to change this, or we're going to change that. And some people just, whoa, what's going on? Or it felt heavy-handed. Now, there's other changes that have been made that have been absolutely wonderful. For example, the remodeling of this building, absolutely wonderful expression of change, and other things as well. But occasionally, there's been the times when it's been heavy-handed. And that's just not the way to go. I think the way to go is for us, when it's an appropriate time, is to say, okay, this thing right here, what do we value about that? That's the piece that God placed in the middle of it. And we never let go of it. We describe it. We hold on to it. We embrace it. And we ask, what is the way we want to take that into the future? So it's more of a blessing than what it has been up to now. Now, that's hard work. That's harder work because it's sometimes refreshing. Well, maybe I don't want to say refreshing. Sometimes it's easier when a leader gets up and says, this is the way it's going to be. And you say, oh, no, I'm not going to forget it. That guy's crazy. That can be easier to do. But what's missed is the blessing. And the blessing flows out of the center of the gifting that God has given us. So that's how we flow with it. Now, what I want to do later, at the end, we have an announcement time at the end. And a lot of times that goes well, and sometimes it doesn't go well. And what I want to do is talk with you about that particular announcement time that we have together, what the blessing of it is, and how we carry that blessing, that rich gift that it is, how we carry that into the future. And we may find that there's some new forms that really brings out that gifting more than the way that we're doing it. It's just a way of us finding a best practice to move into change together, where everyone knows they're invited into the family of God. Sound okay? Do you want to ask any questions about this right at this point? Okay. We'll do that at the end, in the usual announcement time, and I think that'll go quite well. And whatever happens is what happens. That's fine. Okay, let's stand. Lord Jesus, we thank you for all that you're doing among us. And we thank you that you have called us into your family. We ask that you would fill us with the ability to see your hand at work within our lives, individually as well as together. and the great blessing and gifting that you've placed in the middle of us, we would be able to hold up and increase and walk in now and all the days of our life. And we ask that for the glory of your name. Amen.